Hi there, I'm Audrey Adams, and this is Talk with Audrey, insightful, intelligent information to help you improve the quality of your life or someone else's. Welcome back to the show. Though the United States is home to more than $6.2 trillion worth of key mineral resources, our nation imported more than $27 billion worth of minerals last year to help meet manufacturing needs. Gareth Hatch, the founding principal of Technology Metals Research, joins me to talk about the importance of increasing our domestic mineral supply and the urgent need to level the playing field for the U.S. mining industry with the rest of the world. Welcome to Talk with Audrey.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you joining me. So the first thing I need to understand is a little bit about Technology Metals Research.
Sure. So basically we help people in industry, in government, all sectors of life really understand the role of metals and minerals in both our everyday lives and the important national defense and long-term strategic areas. So it's helping people understand those challenges and get better information and make better decisions.
And when you talk about minerals, there's something that I've always been curious about, because, you know, this is going to be Greek to most people, right?
Sure.
which is not a bad thing, but that's why we're talking. Rare earth elements, what are they specifically?
Well, the rare earth elements are a group of elements tucked away in the bottom of the periodic table that have a whole range of very interesting magnetic and optical electronic properties that really enable many types of technology today. So they have some very unusual properties along with other elements like lithium or rhenium and other exotic sounding elements like that.
And they're called rare earth because...
So that's actually a historical term. So the Earth were a group of materials that at the time the scientists couldn't reduce to pure metals, like say iron or zinc or tin. They were always actually found as oxides. And they were rare because it was difficult to actually produce them. But the rare earths are, they're not as rare as they sound. They can be found...
Okay.
All over the place, but they're an unusual group of elements.
Okay, and the term is historical, so that's where
right.
Rare earth comes from. Yeah, because I always think rare earth, wow, it sounds really exotic. I mean, are these things that are hard to find? But no, they're not hard to find. They're all over. It's just that way back when, they weren't able to recreate it or reduce it to its, you know, to a that specific element that they.
That's right. The processing was difficult. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. Okay. Got that cleared up. That was really for me, though. Okay, so when it comes to our country's current mineral policies, why is it then that if we have $6.2 trillion worth of key mineral resources here, why are we importing $27 billion worth of minerals?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've got this wonderful mineral wealth here. And one of the biggest challenges that the industry faces is the approach that's required to get permits for new mines and new developments here. In recent years, it's taken anything from 7 to 10 years to do that paperwork. And if you compare that with countries that have a similar legal system, similar standard of living to the U.S., like Canada or Australia, those countries are able to get the process done, the permitting process completed typically within 2 to 3 years. And so that makes those countries a lot more competitive if you're a mining company looking to develop your next project. You're going to go to places where the paperwork is straightforward. That doesn't mean that, you know, we're looking to reduce environmental regulations or things like that. It's just getting the permit process into a place, into a mode that allows for efficient consideration of the different points that are associated with the various projects. And so you know, that seems to be a bit of an issue here, and it has been for some time.
So what are some of the greatest hurdles that have to be overcome before? I mean, 10 years, it sounds like a long time to
get
something approved. I mean, they approve drugs in less time. Go ahead.
So one aspect is, so one of the ongoing challenges is that there are a lot of overlapping processes. Different departments in the federal government get involved. If a project is on private land or in land owned by a county or a state, you've also got the overlay of additional jurisdictions, additional folks that have to look at the paperwork. And you know, we've also seen a reduction in the staffing levels of certain key departments in the government as well, which you know, also hinders the process.
Mm-hmm. Hinders the issues in terms of jumping through those hoops. So has it been identified? Have those minerals in those places been identified before moving forward, or is that just the research process?
It's a great question. I sometimes would say yes and no to that question. We do have a very good idea in general where the important strategic minerals and metals are in the U.S., and so having identified those, there are certainly opportunities to develop them and bring those materials out to the ground. But there are other areas, of course, where there's been perhaps not as much exploration. And, you know, if you have an onerous permitting system, you have companies that will say, you know what, we want to do exploration. We want to go find the next great deposit of titanium or zinc or whatever the mineral might be. But, you know, what's the point of doing all that legwork here if we've now got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops? Let's go to Australia. Let's go to South Africa. Let's go somewhere else. So there is this this paradox that we know where there are some great potential deposits of these materials, but there's also, you know, an opportunity to find things we don't even know are there yet. And this backdrop of the permitting system really influences what happens there.
Do you is there a lot of pushback from communities where this, you know, where these potential metals and what have you can be found? And if so, what kind?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, it's all about information and having the right information to make informed decisions and develop opinions. Certainly, companies operating today have very rigorous processes and procedures, not just because of what's required through the permitting system, but, you know, community engagement, the social aspect, and of course the environmental are all very important, and understandably so to any community that you know, maybe near a development. So, you know, it's my experience talking to, and I talk to a lot of folks in different communities near projects that are under development all around the world, and it's really about the information and communication between the developers and the folks that live nearby. And once the details are explained, once they're given, you know, as much information as they need, then, you know, I think that makes a big difference. As does understanding the opportunities, you know, the jobs and the prosperity that projects can bring. So, you know, it's all about communication and information, and you know, there's actually a great website associated with this topic, mineralsmakelife.org, which your listeners can visit and get some more information on this. You know, you can't have enough or more, you know, you can't have too much information on this stuff, so that's important.
So the U.S. is purchasing these minerals from outside the U.S. and bringing them in. And if we were to pursue securing those within our own borders, it would do what in general? Increase job production decrease? What? Give us the breakdown on that.
Yeah, so if we had new mines and new projects, certainly there would be job creation. There would be, you know, increased tax revenues if you want to look at it that way. From a strategic point of view, it would mean we would reduce our reliance on countries that perhaps are not as friendly with the U.S. as one would like. Many of the metals and minerals that we're talking about of strategic and, you know, national security importance are coming from places like China, in some cases Russia, Kazakhstan. So you have to be mindful of what might happen if you don't have access to those materials or those problems of security of supply. And so it's not just the mining side of it. It's, you know, what happens to that metal once it's been produced or that mineral, what kind of manufacturing supply chain is in place. And, you know, you talk to company executives and they pinpoint this as a key factor of concern. If we knew we had indium or titanium or, you know, some of these other metals and minerals produced it closer to home, then they can reduce their risk and dependence on foreign sources. They could also get stuff quicker and it would be cheaper. So it's a key problem.
All right. So I understand that the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Chairwoman Lisa Murkowski has introduced some legislation to boost the domestic supply of minerals and downstream technologies. This is obviously something that is really being given great consideration.
That's right. And actually, Senator Murkowski has done a great job in the last few years in highlighting this as an issue. She has introduced this legislation, and, you know, one of the key goals, as I understand it, of this bill is to improve the efficiency of the permitting process at the federal level. We're not looking, you know, to cut corners here, but putting in place reasonable steps to reduce the delays and really get timely decisions. Let's get these decisions made, in a reasonable time frame.
Yeah, processes and procedures. Lord have mercy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I wonder how anyone gets anything done.
That's right.
Every industry seems to have its hurdles and hoops you have to jump through. Anyway, wow. Okay. So, guys, now you know a little more about what's going on with regard to some of the mineral imports that manufacturers here in the U.S. have had to rely on in order to maintain, and the fact that we have it right here in our own borders. Very interesting. Gareth Hatch, founding principal of Technology Metals Research, has been my guest. And that website again, Gareth, is?
The website is mineralsmakelife.org.
Mineralsmakelife.org. Okay. And we're talking about gold and silver and all these things, as well as the rare earth that we talked about previously. Thanks so much, Gareth Hatch, for joining me on Talk with Audrey.
You're welcome. Thanks.
We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to Daybreak USA. You know, America relies on importing a lot of things. America relies on importing minerals. Our reliance has more than doubled in the past 30 years, more than doubled. And we've been unable to secure reliable supply chains for domestic minerals. So many American manufacturers are forced to look overseas, to look elsewhere for raw materials. But we don't need in this environment to be dependent on others. We need to look more at being dependent more on ourselves. Gareth Hatch is here to help us. He's a founding principal of Technology Metals Research, LLC, and he's interested in helping people understand the challenges associated with the growing demand for rare earth elements. Good morning, Gareth.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think this is an area that a lot of people don't understand. They're like, well, we can just go someplace else and get it. But as you know, in today's political environment around the world, sometimes there aren't other reliable places to get the things we need for our manufacturers. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. I mean, the irony here is that we have a wealth of metals and minerals in the ground in the USA that we could tap into to support, you know, our entire industrial and high-tech supply chain and not be reliant, as you say, on folks outside of the USA who perhaps are not as friendly as we would like them to be. So that's the irony of the situation.
And I think that's a good basic synopsis of it. So let's talk about, for us to understand better, what are some of the key strategic minerals and what new technologies are they used in so we can understand why we need to be more reliant on ourselves? What do we use this stuff for?
Absolutely. Well, the types of minerals we're talking about, some you might have heard of, like aluminum or copper and lead. Others are a bit more exotic, like beryllium or rhenium, neodymium, praseodymium, quite a mouthful to say sometimes.
That's so cool.
Some of these elements are used in electronics, high technology, our devices, the cell phones we use, the televisions that we watch contain dozens of minerals, computer chips. Lithium is used for the batteries in our laptops, electric vehicles. At a more strategic level, the guys at the Department of Defense rely on hundreds of thousands of tons of metals and minerals every year for defense systems, aerospace platforms, and so on. So it's everything. I mean, if you use something, if you didn't grow it, it has to come out of the ground as a metal or a mineral. So we're using these things, we just don't realize it.
Well, that sure makes it more tangible. When you say, you know, beryllium, I'm like, well, what does that have to do with us? But you're talking about TVs and chips, the lithium batteries in our laptops, our phones. It's just crazy how much we're affected by minerals. So at the beginning of the interview, I mentioned that our reliance on imported minerals has more than doubled in the past 30 years. Why?
Well, there's been a number of reasons for that. One is, of course, that the overall demand for minerals, wherever you get them from, has increased as we use more and more of them. But the key issue here in the U.S., frankly, is a difficulty in establishing and developing new projects, new mines, so that we can get these minerals from the ground. And part of that is to do with a rather laborious and, frankly, outdated permitting system. It's important that any new mine, any new development is done in a responsible manner. I think we would all agree with that. But in the U.S., it can take, believe it or not, up to 10 years to get the paperwork sorted out for developing a new mine. And we contrast that to countries that have a similar standard of living and legal system, like Canada or Australia, and maybe it takes 2 or 3 years. So companies end up starting projects elsewhere and not in the USA, which not only has an effect on our ability to source those materials perhaps, but also, you know, affects our economy as well.
Now, in terms of, you know, what we can do, how would an increase in our ability here in the U.S., if we could, you know, make some allowances and become more self-sufficient, how would that benefit the U.S. economy?
Well, in addition to the direct benefit of creating tens of thousands of new jobs, it would, you know, it would allow the folks in industry who have to do planning, strategic planning for the long term, thinking about where they're going to build their next factory, where are they going to develop their next product. If they knew that they had access to materials closer to home, that reduces risk in terms of getting materials, say, from China or South Africa or somewhere else, even Russia. And it gives confidence to the executives that, okay, we can develop a new line or a new factory or whatever here in the USA, and we know we'll be able to source those materials closer to home. And
excellent. I want to make sure, Gareth Hatch, we can get more information. So how do we find out more info?
Sure. There's a great website with lots of information called mineralsmakelife.org. That's mineralsmakelife.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Gareth.
You are welcome.
Well, America's reliance on imported minerals has more than doubled in the past 30 years. Unable to secure reliable supply chains of domestic minerals, many American manufacturers have been forced to look overseas for raw materials. Now, this is in spite of the fact that the United States is home to more than $6.2 trillion worth of key mineral resources. Our nation imported more than $27 billion worth of minerals last year to help meet manufacturing needs. I mean, is this like the, you know, like oil production all over again? I mean, we have the resources here domestically, but yet we choose to go overseas. And, you know, like, what is going on here? Well, Gareth Hatch, he's the founding principal of technology with Metals Research LLC, is with us right now to give us some, you know, eye-opening understanding on this. Gareth, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. So break this down for us, Gareth. We've got $6.2 trillion worth of key mineral resources domestically waiting to be harvested here. But again, our country looks outside and we import $27 billion. Where's the disconnect?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a wealth of mineral resources right, you know, beneath our feet all over the country. Wide range of metals and minerals waiting to be developed. And the key issue that's been growing in the last decade or two is that of permitting, of getting the permission and paperwork required to start a new mine in the USA. And right now, on average, it takes, believe it or not, up to 10 years before you can get the permits to do these projects. And if we can compare that to other places that have, you know, a similar legal system, similar standard of living, like Canada or Australia, you know, there you can get a project done with the same quality and scrutiny in terms of responsible development in 2 to 3 years. And so the U.S. is basically not competitive or not as competitive as it should be with respect to the development of new mining projects.
Right. Or as it can be. I mean, you know, business goes where it's welcomed and encouraged. And certainly in this particular case, again, is this the environmentalist activists, you know, holding the line again?
Well, some would argue that the pendulum has swung quite away in the other direction with respect to the environmental issue. I think we'd all agree that we want responsible mining and sustainable development. But ultimately, when you have duplicated permitting processes that layer one on top of another, particularly if you're in you know, certain parts of the country, you just got dozens of entities that you have to put your paperwork into. It just bogs down the whole process. And so there's a lot of outdated and obsolete rules and regulations in place that you know, need to be changed.
Yeah. Well, Gareth, this all comes down to an economic issue. Yes, we want to be responsible stewards. I mean, and this is one thing I get, you know, and I don't mean to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say all environmentalists are a problem here. I believe they're part of the recipe, but like anything, it needs to be blended. When any one interest is overpowering the other, it ends up costing everybody. So I say that up front. So I'm not saying, you know, the heck with the environmentalists. I'm thankful for their input here. I believe every opinion counts here. But on the economic side, not that we should all be driven by the economy and economic issues, but yet, hey, certainly we should consider them. What is it costing America? I mean, we see this big differential. We have $6.2 trillion worth of key mineral resources beneath our feet, and then we choose to import. So I imagine this is costing us in jobs, you know, all the way on down here. What's the net loss to America because we choose to look outside instead of harvesting what we have here underneath our feet?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if we look just at the value of the minerals and metals that we're talking about, whether it's iron or aluminum or titanium or more exotic materials, you're talking tens of billions of dollars worth of material every year. But if, as you are alluding to, if you look at the value of creating jobs and the impact that, you know, projects, profitable, competitive projects could have on local economies and you know, the national economy as a whole, it's substantial. I mean, the mining industry in the USA right now supports millions of jobs, and additional projects could, you know, create hundreds of thousands of additional jobs, jobs that, of course, are
exactly.
sorely needed. So.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the minerals we're talking about here, Gareth alluded to several here, but we're talking silver, platinum, iron ore, copper, lithium. You know, these are all vital for new technologies for high-tech transportation, national security, and advanced energy sectors. Even if you have just a minor awareness of what's happening with technology today, you know that these minerals are significant, and they're here, but yet, we're being handcuffed. And so is there a reasonable, you know, approach? Is there some reasonable consideration so that the United States can be more effective in mining our own minerals here domestically as opposed to looking out to, to other countries? And thank goodness Senate Energy and Natural Resources Chairwoman Lisa Murkowski, a Republican out of Alaska, has introduced legislation to boost the domestic supply of minerals. So I'm sure that came as good news for you, Gareth.
Yes, we've been tracking what Senator Murkowski has been trying to do actually for a number of years, and now that she's chair of that committee, is leading the charge to, you know, straighten out this issue of permitting, streamlining the process, reducing the delays. Sometimes there's just no explanation for how long it takes. And, you know, as we said, nobody's looking to cut corners here in terms of being responsible, but it can be done. It's done in Canada, it's done in Australia and elsewhere with all of the right considerations, but it's done in a fraction of the time. So it's time to make those changes, to coordinate, make sure that the various federal departments and so on are coordinating activity and not duplicating effort. And I think this bill, the American Mineral Security Act, will go a long way to helping with that. That is an issue.
And I'm sure in the last 30 years, mining companies have been sensitive to these environmental concerns and have responded accordingly, just like they have in the oil petroleum industry as well. Gareth Hatch, founding principal of Technology Metals Research, LLC, has been with us. Gareth, thank you so much for being on Bill Martinez Live. It's 28 after.
All right, 5 minutes after 11 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in. One of the things that we take for granted is that the stuff we need to make other stuff is always going to be there. It is an interesting thing, isn't it? Remember when you were a kid, you got a quartz watch, and you said, oh, there's quartz in here, right?
Oh,
and of course, you don't even understand it. What does quartz have to do with a watch? I still don't understand this. The Senate has introduced some legislation to increase the access to domestic minerals fundamental to American innovation. That is what my notes tell me. And Gareth Hatch is going to explain what that means. He is an expert on the growing demand for rare earth elements and other critical and strategic materials. We're going to talk about the importance of increasing our domestic mineral supply here in this country and the urgent need to level the playing field for the mining industry in our country as with the rest of the world. Gareth, if I didn't have notes telling me to read that stuff, I wouldn't even know what I was saying right there. But thank you, Gareth, for being on the air to help us understand this.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Where are you right now?
I'm based in the suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, okay. What's your accent from? Where are you from?
I grew up in the United Kingdom, so I'm from England.
Okay. Well, explain what this is about, and this sounds like something that we should understand in order to be passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we use metals and minerals every day in our daily lives. We just don't realize it. If you don't grow something, you have to mine it, right? So whether it's our cell phones or our computers, our cars, everything ultimately is made from metals and minerals that we have to get out of the ground. And so they have to get them out of the ground from somewhere, whether it's the USA or overseas. And so this all ties into our ability to access those metals and minerals and to make the things that we need from them.
Wow, it's a whole world that I never even thought about before, but it's all making sense. The little tiny components of a computer came from some mine somewhere. You don't grow that stuff.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you look at the battery that powers your laptop, it's made from lithium and graphite and cobalt. I mean, these are all elements that have to be mined and processed and purified. The screen that you look at, the colors that are formed, are there because of the presence of very exotic sounding elements like terbium and yttrium and europium. But it goes beyond that to our vehicles, to aircraft. Our Defense Department needs for strategic materials like titanium or...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So what is the legislation? Explain what the Senate has proposed or has actually passed.
Yeah, so one of the biggest issues that the U.S. faces is for the development of new mines or to bring previous mines back online is the permitting process, all of the paperwork that's required, understandably, to make sure that these things are done in an appropriate manner. But it takes up to 10 years in the U.S. to get that paperwork sorted out.
Wow.
So what the Senate is hoping to do, Senator Murkowski, who's the chair of the Committee on Energy and Resources, what they're looking to do is to streamline that process, not compromise the integrity of the process itself, but to remove some of the duplication, the inefficiencies, and try and reduce the time that it takes to get the permitting process completed. Hopefully that will allow the industry to be more competitive, attract more investment, create more jobs, but just as important, get us access to these metals and minerals, which ironically are right here in the U.S. So many of these that we import could actually be produced here in the USA.
And we import them from everywhere, or gosh, it sounds like we're just shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, we import them from all over the world, but many of these metals and minerals come from places that, you know, perhaps are not quite as friendly with the U.S. as they might be. And so, you know, you've always got that thought in the back of your mind, what happens if there's a disruption of supply. So, you know, it makes sense to be less reliant.
In the areas that fracking is happening, can the guys that are fracking work in tandem with the guys that want to extract these minerals?
Well, you still have a permitting process for fracking. That's, you know, for the energy resource side of things, and there's a bit of a different dynamic going on there, but certainly, you know, being willing to be scrutinized and you know, review your plan of operations and what's the impact going to be, that's all part of a sound, transparent permitting system. So, you know, whether it's fracking or oil or you know, mineral resources, which is, you know, the primary focus of this legislation, I don't think there's any question that we need to have a permitting process. It's just can it be done in a much more effective way. I mean, if you look at Canada or Australia, it takes no more than 2 or 3 years for the same level, the same high quality of scrutiny as it does here. So it's not an issue, you know, of you know, can it be done? It's do we have the will to do it?
Wow. The phone is ringing. You've got some people wanting to ask questions. Are you okay with me going to the phones?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. All right, excellent. Thank you for waiting. Good morning. You're on the air now with Gareth Hatch.
Good morning, sir. Yes, some years ago, during the second administration of Bill Clinton, he, by executive order, created a national monument and took land that had large deposits of low sulfur coal and made it essentially illegal to mine that. So, that's something you have to consider is, you know, capricious takings of natural resources out of production. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thank you. Gareth?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been talking to folks in the last few years across the country that have expressed similar concerns. I've done some work in the Western USA as well, where land has been put out of use that actually was originally designated for mineral development. But, you know, as the federal laws and rules are changed, this stuff gets put out of use. And, you know, with probably not very much scrutiny as to the consequences of that and understanding what mineral wealth we have there. So, you know, it's it is an issue. It's part of a bigger issue. This legislation from Senator Murkowski is the beginning, I think, of a new way of approaching this that
right.
does what needs doing, but in a more effective manner.
And I guess we all want to be good stewards, but I mean, if it's hurting us, we need to figure out a way to do it without, ruining the environment. We still have another phone call. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air now with Gareth Hatch.
This is a privilege. Thank you. There are additional national security concerns here because China has made a tremendous effort to develop their own supply of rare earth, and they have already demonstrated that they're willing to use it as an economic weapon. Specifically, they targeted Japan when they were having a little bit of an international diplomacy spat, and China demonstrated that they would be willing to cut off supply to Japan, and of course we already discussed how these are needed for high-tech industry, and we need to develop ours. It's difficult to do with the EPA having such a stranglehold on things, but as Larry said, we need to be good stewards of our environment, but we also need to have reasonable amounts of regulation that do allow us to develop and use our natural resources. We're a rich country, and we shouldn't have to fall behind other countries like China, who are a little bit less squeamish about safety and the environment. And I'll listen on the air. Thank you very much.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Gareth?
Yeah, it's a very good point. China is the producer of many of the materials that are minerals that are imported. You mentioned rare earths as a good example. So this is another example. We have rare earth deposits in the USA. These are elements used in magnets, in our computer screens, in batteries, all kinds of applications. We do have a mine up and running actually in California that produces rare earths. There are some others that are under development, but if we can streamline the process for permitting, it makes it much more likely that these projects will become available and we'll be able to supply the elements that we need without being reliant on countries like China, who obviously they're in this for China, and the U.S. needs to be in this for the USA.
Well, yeah, in a short period of time, I already understand at least enough to make me want to know more. Is the website mineralsmakelife.org, is that the best way for me and anybody else to learn more?
Absolutely. There's lots of great information and data and background on this topic. So please take a look.
All right, mineralsmakelife.org. Gareth Hatch, what a great topic. Thank you so much for bringing it to the show.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.